We'd like to thank Aaron and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Learn Without the Locks in memory of Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leibas Abram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, and Hashem should have an Aliyah. We are in the middle of Chapter 4, Mishnah 4, discussing the concept of humility and what it means to be very, very humble. So let's just reread the Mishnah. We will raise a few points, questions that we raised last week. We will not review everything we spoke about last week, but we'll jump into the new sources for now. So Mishnah on the top, source number one, Rabbi Levitas ish Yavna Omer. So Rabbi Levitas, the man from Yavna, said, Ma'od ma'od hebe shval ruach. Be very, very humble of spirit. Shetikvas enosh rima. For the end of man is worm. So questions that stand out that we are going to be focusing on today is, number one, what does it mean that people, tikvas enos rima, the word tikva usually means hope. So what does it mean that I'm hoping to be a worm? What does that mean? Something we spoke about last week, which might come up this week. Why is it double language? Ma'od, ma'od, be very, very. Why not just say heve shval ruach or heve ma'od shval ruach? Why ma'od, ma'od, heve shval ruach? And then the third big question we're going to be addressing is, how do we define shval ruach? What does that mean to be humble of spirit? Is that different than anava, humility? And how does that functionally differ, both internally and externally? And practically, what are we supposed to do about being humble? So let's jump into source number 7. Last week we did 2 through 6. Now we're going to do number 7 on the bottom of the page. Derech Chaim, this is the Maharal. The Maharal says as follows. Yira lefarish. Ki gam seder zeh maimar v'kat. Start with actually the second line. Second line, second word. Ve'ef shalomar. Ki mipnei she'amar lifnei zeh. Remember the context. What was the Mishnah beforehand? The Mishnah beforehand told us, Al ti baz l'chol adam. Don't embarrass. Don't undervalue. Don't disgrace other people. That was the previous Mishnah, which we did 2 weeks ago. Actually, 5 weeks ago, Amar shadaber zeh nemar sha'al yehi mevazes acher. So don't embarrass somebody else. Don't disgrace them. Disparage them. Aval la'atzmo yesh levasos. Yourself, embarrass yourself. Disgrace yourself. Put yourself down. That's what it means to be shval ruach. Don't do it to others, but you can do it to yourself. Again, this isn't exactly a contemporary message that you will. You'll hear that much, but keep going. And that's why it says to be very lowly of spirit, because the hope or the destiny of man is worms. There is nothing more lowly than a worm. And that's what you should look at yourself like, a worm. Now, notice that that's not explicitly stated in the Mishnah. The Mishnah never says to you, look at yourself like a worm. It says, be shval ruach, because eventually you're going to either be a worm or worm food, however you want to phrase it. But it never says, you are a worm right now. Right? Look at yourself like a worm. But the Maharal's understanding that the way to get to shiftless ruach, which is what we're encouraging in this Mishnah, is to view yourself as a lowly worm. That's your self-image. Sense of self, I am a worm. Again, pretty off the beaten path for our brains. I guess the David said it, right? We'll get to David soon. Right? So to us in the modern world, it's strange. In the biblical world, in the rabbinic world, it might not be so strange. To give you some background to this, if you open up any contemporary Jewish religious self-help book that talks about self-esteem. So how do they deal with these issues? The fact that you have a Maharal here that says, think of yourself as a worm. So most of them, I believe, and you can do your own research on this, tend to just bypass the question. And they say that self-esteem doesn't mean that you think of yourself like you're a piece of garbage. Self-esteem has to mean that you acknowledge your strengths, but you either A, acknowledge they come from God, right? Or B, don't wave it in other people's faces. Right? That's what healthy self-esteem is. I know I'm awesome. I know I'm great. I know I can accomplish so much. But it all comes from God. Don't shove it in other people's faces. Everybody, you know, is equal to some extent. they don't address these issues. And all I want to do is to bring up with you that this tradition does exist in Jewish literature. And we can't pretend it doesn't. It does exist. There are sources that say that you should look at yourself as a worm. Whether or not in the modern day we should focus on this, or perhaps the message should shift and change to find other sources that say different things and focus on those, I think that's going to be the argument we're going to make. But one of my pet peeves is when we sort of just oversimplify and overstate that this is what humility means. Humility has to mean that you acknowledge your strengths are and how great you are, and that's it. You have explicit sources that say that humility, or at least shiftless ruach, is looking at yourself like a worm. Whether we focus on this now, no. But you can't ignore the fact that it does exist. Yeah?
Would the Chafetz Chaim be considered modern, or where do you place him in that?
Maybe the Chafetz Chaim talks about that. I assume the Chafetz Chaim talks about this somewhere. You have a source that you're saying he does?
So I just read a story about him yesterday, where obviously he kept doing Lashon Hara, he was with the wagon driver. The wagon driver didn't know who he was. Right. The wagon driver said something about the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim himself spoke badly about him. He said, oh, he's not so great. And the wagon driver started to berate him. He learned the lesson. He said, you're not even allowed to speak Lashon Hara about yourself. But I think that it came from, where did that come from? Why would he speak of himself that way? Because he was so humble, he wasn't going to stand there and say, oh, I'm the Chafetz Chaim, I'm great.
Correct.
So it's tied into this. It's not
right, but that doesn't mean that the Chafetz Chaim is looking at himself per se as a worm. He right. may or may not have. I'm sure. I mean, the Chafetz Chaim wrote a ton. I'm sure somewhere in his writings this comes out. But he was for sure humble. But humility may or may not mean I think of myself as a worm. The Maharal here says shiftless ruach does mean that. How this behaviorally comes out will depend on the person and the point, etc. So let's keep going. I want us to realize also, if I didn't make this clear. Even though this doesn't fit with our modern sense of self and self-esteem, that doesn't mean that it was necessarily unhealthy back then. Meaning in medieval times or pre-medieval times, in the times of the Gemara, in the times of Tanakh, thinking of yourself as a worm might not have meant, oh, you're depressed and you're not accomplishing anything in life and you're sitting at home doing nothing. Right? Because I'm a worm. What can I do? What can I accomplish? Nobody would argue that to you. Nowadays, that's usually what that sense of self tends to do. It leads to depression and lack of productivity. But it could be that back in that time, the way the sense of self was understood by the people during those time periods was so fundamentally different than when we understand it now, which is probably true, that thinking of yourself as a worm wasn't a recipe for, you know, a lifelong of depression. So that's just my little caveat. Even though we don't do it nowadays, it's not necessarily disparaging to think that they thought this way back in the day. And remember, they might not have even thought this way. This might have been some, you know, drusha where somebody got up and say, think of yourself as a worm, and the people in the audience are like, nah, what's this guy talking about? I'm not a worm. What? You know, I'm awesome. What?
What you mean, like a matter of speech. Each generation has its own matter of speech.
Right, figure of speech, the way we talk.
Now, if 10 years ago, or even 20 years ago, they said, me too.
That
means
good. That's true. So the way words are used in each generation can shift. One last point that we're going to keep going, yeah?
It's true that in today's world, these people are unacceptable. I am not certain that there are plenty of people who think an awful lot of themselves. They don't need their self-esteem to be added to that because they already think all the time about themselves and a lot about themselves, right. And that they will do right. And that he's giving a perspective that even in this day and age,
so there, but yeah, so 100%, meaning nobody's saying therefore nowadays don't care about humility. We're just going to redefine what the proper healthy humility is. There's nobody would argue to you, you should think about how awesome you are and think how great you are and only think about yourself and not care about others and put others down. And that obviously nobody would suggest would be considered a good, rabbinic Jewish trait. All right, so let's keep going. So we're in the third line here. The Maharal source number 7, towards the end of the line. Uvisamoch yizva od. Seder mishna zo shilofanam. So now let's keep explaining. Valze yesh lishol. Masha amar. So question number 1, according to the Maharal, is hebe shval. What does it say? Ma'od hebe shval ruach shetikvos enosh rima. Velo tikvos enosh hushinishmaso tzura tachas kisei akabot. What does my nefesh want? My nefesh wants to attach itself to God, holy, spiritual, elevated. Why is it saying that the tikva, the hope of a person is worm. So that's question number one. We already addressed, we stated that question. We haven't answered it yet. Vod yesh l'shol, another question. V'chi tikva so rima she'en adam mekabel l'zeh v'lashon tikva nemar al adabar she'adam mekabelo. Right? Is this really what I want? So it's a restated, similar type of question. Vod kasha, third question. Ki hitchel adabar l'nochach. This we stated last week. The Mishnah starts saying heve ma'od shval ruach. It's a command to you. You should be very humble. V'siyem b'lashon nistar. But then it takes a step back and ends in a broader language, not addressing you, but addressing people in general. And it says that shetikvas enos rima. Instead, it shouldn't have said that people desire to be worms. V'avelelememar shetikvas charima. That your desire is worms. So it starts talking about nochach. You be humble because people desire to be worms. But it should have said, because you desire to be worms, not that people in general. It shouldn't switch. Right? This would have, if you were writing this in Microsoft Word, it would have stopped you and put a little, you know, green lines underneath it and said, you know, the grammar is incorrect. You're switching subjects in the middle of a sentence. Okay, so now. So Perish HaMaimer. So now he's going to explain. Perish HaMaimer Azeh. Afa Gav, we are now, if you've lost me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, five lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, five lines from the bottom of the paragraph, starting in the first word of the line, is perish. Perish hamaymer azeh. Afa gav shebevadaya adam mekabe el tachlis tov achris li shalom. The Maharal says, for sure, what do people actually want? Let's look at a healthy, sort of positive spin on people's desires. People want good. People don't want to be worms. People want to end up, you know, with a positive life. Mikol makom ein roi la'adam sheba olam hazeh misga'e. Shemitzad olam hazeh tikvas orima. So he makes a split. Splitting between the spiritual and the physical. Or more precisely, this world and the next world. In this world, you have no right and you have no reason, it's not logical, to have any level of gaib of arrogance related to this world. Why? Kimasha adam nishmaso tzura b'tzura chayim. Yes, we're hoping that our neshama is going to attach itself to God. Ein ze mitzada olam hazeh. It has nothing to do with this world. Ki b'olam hazeh nikra adam al shem adama. This world, what are we called? Adama, earth. L'fichach afim yelo achris v'tachlis gadol. Even though in the end we're going to have this great reunification with God in Shemayim. Mikol makom ein lo lizgayos b'olam hazeh. But in this world that's irrelevant. In this world, we are physical, we're material, we're earth, we're worm. Okay, so when I die and my neshama goes away from my guf, okay, so that's at that point, the tikva becomes to become shamayim. In this world, if we're not lowly of spirit, if we don't keep in mind this physical bodily limitations that we have, then we're automatically considered arrogant according to the Maharal. So the Maharal, you can understand it in one of two ways. One way, right, if you want to ask the following question. So in this world, Olam Hazeh, can I be misga'eh? Can I have some level of quote unquote arrogance about my neshama? Right, about my spirituality? The way he seems to be distinguishing here is between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. That in Olam Hazeh, there's no room for any level of gaiva. In Olam Haba, there is, because that's when your neshama goes up to Shemayim. So my question is, and I don't think he fully addresses it, is that in Olam Hazeh, can I have some level of healthy self-respect about my spirituality, about my neshama? Presumably, we would want to say yes, but he doesn't say that explicitly. He seems to be saying that once you're in this world and you're tied up in the physical, even though you still have a spiritual element, there's no room for gaiva because you're still rima v'toleya, you're still adama. Even though you have an neshama aspect, here in this world, it's too physical, it's too material, and therefore there's no room. And after you die, okay, then you want to be, you know, think about how awesome it is that I'm going to be tied up with God in Shemayim. Then, you know, feel free to be misgaya about that. Yeah.
There's a difference between being misgaya that he's going to be tied up with Hashem and being misgaya like, oh, I'm greater than everybody else.
Correct, but he doesn't make that distinction. So it's unclear what he would say about that. it's almost like he's saying that you could read this, that in this world, you wouldn't even say, oh, I'm so excited that I'm going to be tied up with Hashem. That there's no room for that in this world. And it's a little bit hard to understand why, but I think you could read it that way. Now, next paragraph. So he gives another explanation. V'yesh lomar od. Ki ben azai amar sha'al yivazel chol adam. So the previous Mishnah said, don't embarrass people. V'hosef rebbe levitas lomar lo shlo yivazel chol adam. So not that you shouldn't embarrass everybody. Rakiyash fal ruach u'bachna lifnei kol adam. You should be humble. So it's almost like it's more than that. Not just don't embarrass, but even more than that, be humble in front of everybody. This is going a step further. One thing, I can think I'm better than you, but I'm still not going to embarrass you. Here it's, no, I'm not even going to think that I'm better than you. We're staying away from that as well. V'amar bifnei kol adam. Why does it say in front of bifnei kol adam? It could have said bifnei adam. Kol adam is more expansive. Why does it say bifnei kol adam? Notice in our Mishnah doesn't have that, right? Ma'od ma'od ha'bishruach shetikos anashrima. The Maharal's, unless he's talking about the previous Mishnah, excuse me, yeah. B'fnei v'amar b'fnei kol adam. The previous Mishnah says b'fnei kol adam. V'rod zelomar sha'afim also adam hu pachos v'shafel. Even if that guy is lower than you, again, why do I assume he's lower than me? Unclear, but let's assume there's some objective criteria where this person is lower than me. B'kol makom gam b'fnei adam k'mozeh yishafel. So even in front of this guy who's low, I'm going to be low. I'm going to be shafel. Va'amar shetikvos enosh rima rotzalomar kisofa adam hula misa ki amisa ruuya la adam. So now he's going to change around. He's going to answer the question differently. What does it mean that my tikva? He didn't answer the question. What does it mean that my tikva, that my hope is for death? So he says it doesn't mean hope. What does it mean? Fate or destiny, right? Because my destiny, my sof, my end game is death. Kmosh amru b'medrash. Komi shenamar bo heye metukan hula davar heina adam hu metukan hula misa banachas heye metukan hula paranos shetir mizeki etzma adam ra'ui lo lamisa. So he changes tikva from hope to metukan or ra'ui. It's your destiny. It's what's going to end up happening. It's not that I want it, but it's going to happen. Because it's going to happen, therefore, be humble and don't think yourself better than other people. So that's how the Maharal deals with these various issues. If you flip the page, we're going to see the Pirkei Moshe, who's going to parallel the Maharal to some extent, meaning the questions he's going to be addressing are going to be similar, but what he's going to do is give us slightly different answers, and I think it's worth going through this as well. So the Pirkei Moshe says as follows. Hine, HaMishnah Hazos, source number 8, Kasha HaAvana Admaot, very hard to understand. As we've addressed, tikva, hope, sounds like I desire it, I want it. But here, what am I wanting or desiring? To be a worm? Doesn't make sense. Nobody wants to be a worm. You would have, if you wanted to say, like the Maharal says, that it means your destiny, then use a different word. Use sof, that's your end. Otachlis enos rima. That's your destiny. The fact that he uses the word tikva is strange. Right? There's something behind this word that doesn't just mean end. It does sound like you're almost desiring it. So we're not just going to get out of it so easily by saying it means end. Because he should have said end. Don't say tikva. So amnam. Milas tikvas lo yecholti laholama. I can't ignore it. V'shamati omer b'shem chachmea kabbalah. Kilios tikvas ha'adam elatova achorna elyon. So here's what the Kabbalists say. The Kabbalists say that since, similar to what the Maharal said to some extent, but since people desire, there's this inert, innate desire in us to connect to God, who advekus bo yisbara, we have this sort of this part of us that wants to connect to God. It desires the connection. And that connection is almost, can only happen after death. So it's while I'm alive, it's almost like I desire death to some extent. I want to die because I want to be connected to God. So it's true then, to some extent, on some, I would call this subconscious level. I want to get to that end point. Right? And Freud talks about this, calls it Thanatos, which is a death wish. is that there's a part of us that, that has this desire to get hurt and to die. Again, I don't fully, I'm not going to get into it fully, but there is some element of that in Freud's thought as well. Kidei la'alos be'emtza uso elatova elyon hanizgor, though he wouldn't have framed it in a religious way. But here we're trying to get to God. V'hine, emes gam ze'en enoshel. He doesn't like this answer either. So the one way to answer it is that what's my desire? My desire is Rima. Why is my desire Rima? Because I want to connect to God. What's the problem, though? You can intuit the problem. What's the problem with this? What? Right, so why are you saying Rima? So say Shatikvas Enos Lehitabek Ba'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Why are you saying, if that's the whole point, is that we want to connect to God, then say it. Don't say the opposite, which is that your tikva is Rima. Just, it still doesn't make it. Nobody wants and desires to be a worm. Even though I know, okay, fine, I'll connect to God. But still, I want to live. He says the opposite. We all have a desire to live. We all protect. We have self-protection. We want to live. We want to keep living. Okay, in the end, I'll get reward. I'll connect to God. Fine, but that's in the end. Right now, you ask me, do I want to live or die? My answer is live. So don't tell me tikvos enos rima. I want to connect to God in the kisei hakavod. Ah, lo yikavo so b'taiva v'kosef kenisgar. It's not I'm desiring it. Ah, masha aminu anihu. So this is what this is how he's going to explain it. And this gets back to another question we asked last week. Why does it say Enosh? Right? Again, it's all about word choice. I could have said what other word? Shetikvos Adam. Right? So why Enosh? What is Enosh or Tikvos Ish? Why Enosh? What does Enosh symbolize? So he says here, we're on the 6th line from the top of source number 8. Ah, Masha Aminu Ani Hu. Sha Enosh Hanizkar Po Einenu Hashalem. Enosh symbolizes somebody who is not complete. Whenever we use the word enosh, it means somebody who is lacking, who's not a perfect individual. And by perfect, it doesn't mean that you have to do everything perfectly. It means somebody who's a person of stature, of status, of character. Sometimes Adam does connote character. So he says Adam sometimes means character, shleimos. Ish always means character or shleimus. Ish Moshe anav ma'od. And ish ve'yar ki ein ish. There was nobody there to stand up. There's nobody there to act. So ish always refers to character. And he quotes some psukim. So ish Moshe. Ish melchama. Lachava ish gavriel. So right, anytime you see ish, it's character, it's strength. Acha enosh hu bilti hashalem. That's not true when we use the word enosh. And so enosh automatically means somebody of a lower status. Now, ulios, miteva enosh habilti shalem. So somebody of a lower status, she is stokek tamid el tobos haguf. What do they always want? They want to fulfill their physical desires. Right? And ish controls himself. And ish is on a good path. And enosh is not on such a good path. So an enosh always wants to fulfill their material and physical desires. Eating, drinking, sexual relations. And we saw this previously in a different Mishnah that talked about how all of these fulfilling your physical desires shortens your life, right? Adds to your cholesterol and all that stuff. Right, commotion, emar, atana, marba, basar, marba, rima. He said he connects it. We saw that. Marba, basar, marba, rima. If you have more basar, you have more rima. And somebody pointed out last week, it's the same word that we use in this week's, in this Mishnah, rima. That the more basar you have, the more worms you have. Nimsa, shibiyoso mikava el tov hachomer. Since this enosh desires physicality, al kain, amar, atana, aloki, azeh. So that's why we don't want you to, this enosh, the enosh should be shval ruach, should be lowly of spirit. Don't give his physicality a hand to be misga'a, to be arrogant. Lasseis makom lachomer lis gabriel anefesh. It's for somebody who's more physical that he shouldn't give any options for his chomer, for his physicality, to overcome his nefesh. Yan kol tikvos ha'ish ha'nimshach achar chomer ha'kilyon v'ahefzed barima. Because remember, because you're an enosh and you desire physicality, mar b'basar mar barima, what's your end? Your end is you're going to die because of all of the physical pleasures that you're trying to fulfill, and that will all lead to more worms in the end. Asher hu ba'atzmo yichsof ha'hefzed barima b'meshi yichsof ha'taybos ha'gufaniyot. So what does it mean that I desire? It doesn't mean you really desire it to be worms. You don't desire it to be worms. You desire the taivas, which will lead you to be the worms. V'zeh davar mefursam v'amiti v'nacham v'yishuv divrei ha'tana zeh be'emes. And I think he says this is the correct way of understanding the Mishnah. What comes out from this is some pretty fascinating things. Number one is that he ties in all of the words that we've seen until this point, why it says Rima and Tikva and Enosh. He puts all those together. But from a broader perspective, what's he also telling us? Right. So what would the message be for a not Enosh? What would the message be for an Adam or for an Ish? Maybe, I don't know, right? So he doesn't address it. Meaning the point is that for an ish, the whole reason why you should be a shva ruach is, in his understanding, is to mitigate your physicality and your material being. That's what shva ruach does. And what does shva ruach mean? Think about the fact that you're going to be worms. Think about that. Doesn't mean you're worms right now, but it means don't focus on your physicality, focus on your spirituality. That's only a message for those who focus on their physicality. It's probably most of us, right? But that's only a message for those who focus on their physicality. For somebody who's already an ish, I don't know what the answer would be. He doesn't address it. Thinking of yourself as a shva ruach might not be an operating thought or mindset that's required or necessary or even helpful in those moments. Maybe somebody like that should be thinking, I'm so connected to God and I'm on such a high level and that's great. I'm not better than anybody else. But meaning the thought of I'm a worm or I'm going to die or I'm going to be physical is not necessary for them to be thinking about. It's basically a remedy for somebody who's spiritually sick. Okay, now, he continues a little bit further. The next paragraph. Va'al kein, lo amar shetikvascha rima. That's why it doesn't say that your tikva is rima, because if I would ask you consciously, is your desire worms? What would you answer? You would say no. It's just that your actions are leading to that. Right? Even though it starts off as talking to you, it steps back and says more generally. Everything you're going to through your physicality and your material being is this physical end game of worms. Even though you're not conscious of it, you don't realize it. How can it be that you're going to be so misguided if at the end of the day, if I bring it to your attention and I make you conscious of it, really everything that you're going for, your end game is worms. And now you're going to be, whoa, I didn't realize that. Right? So that can't be the way that I want to behave. That can't be the way that I want to go about my life. Therefore, I'm going to change my perspective. And then he finishes off. V'ratza b'zeh, last paragraph in source 8. V'ratza b'zeh, Rabbi Levitas l'chazek divrei ben Azai. He's coming to strengthen ben Azai. Ben Azai said, don't embarrass people, don't disgrace people. She'ein roi she'a adam bazl shum adam. Of course you can't embarrass or disgrace people. Ki milvad mashu amar ben Azai she'ein lo adam she'ein lo sha'a kenizkar. The reasoning, remember we brought this up when we did this. It sounds strange. Don't embarrass people. Why? What was the reason? Because that person might, he might become the CEO, right? Even though he's the janitor now, maybe he's going to become the CEO. So be careful who you insult because they can hurt you in the end. That's the reason giving. And if you remember, we asked, it's a strange reason to give. Why shouldn't I disgrace or despise people or denigrate people? Because it's the wrong thing to do. Not because he might get me in the end. It's tapping into our base motivations. My motivation not to hurt people should be not to hurt people. Not because he's going to hurt me in the end. Right, so again, ki milvad masha amar ben Azai she'en lo adam she'en lo sha'a kenizkar, besides for the explanation that Ben Azai gave, that the guy might come back to haunt you in the end, hine lo dai she'ein roi shevezeu. That's not enough to not embarrass him. It's not enough to not embarrass him. Elisha roi lio shafo be'enav. L'zek kafo milos ma'od. It's not enough to not embarrass, but you should also act lowly before him. Again, operating, you know, what that means on a practical level, he's not saying explicitly, but it's all, but there's a way that I'm interacting with this person that shows that I'm not trying to be better than them. Ulezek kafo milos ma'od. And that's why he finishes it off. His explanation now takes care of basically all of our problems. Why it says ma'od ma'od. According to the Rambam, why did it say ma'od ma'od? Remember from last week, why did it say ma'od ma'od? According to the Rambam. Right, because we have to go to the extreme, not the middle path. You should remember that from Monday night anyway. Right, you should go to the you go to the extreme, not the middle path. Right. So now, so he says lefizet. For according to him, lezek kafal milas ma'od. The reason why it says ma'od twice. Not only don't embarrass people, but you should also put yourself lower in front of them. So that's why it says ma'od ma'od, because not only do you want to not embarrass somebody, you also want to be considered lower in your own eyes, at least acting that way in front of them as well. So it's more extreme, not that you have to go to an extreme like the Rambam says. You have to go to an extreme and be very, very, very low. It's ma'od ma'od just because it's taking care of two things. It's taking care of don't embarrass and also be humble in front of them. It doesn't say be despised or be disgraced or be, you know, a doormat in front of them, but don't be arrogant in front of them. Be humble, not just not embarrass them. So that's how the Pirkei Moshe understands the Mishnah. He ties all these things together. He tells us why Ma'od is twice. He tells us why it says Enosh, why it says Rima, and why it says Tikva. And why it goes from direct you to general people. Okay, so I think it's a very powerful explanation, answers all our questions. Now, the next two sources that we're going to do, or 9 and 10, are going to take care of another problem for us, and that is to explain a little more detail what the difference between anivus and shval ruach is. Until now, we haven't really defined our terms of what we're talking about, so we're going to see two opinions here. One is the Tiferes Yisrael and one is the Malbim. And they're going to say slightly different things, so we're going to have to pay attention carefully to see what each one means. Okay? Everybody's good? Do we need to take some? Everybody have their coffee? No? Okay.
3 to 4 o'clock in the morning.
You woke up? And you've been up since then?
No.
After your cup of coffee? Then what's the point of the cup of coffee?
I get something. I had my bacon and lox.
By the way, the word tikvak, you know exactly how it appears in Sefer Yehoshua. Tikvak shalir as a machal, tikshari bachalom. So it's a connection. It's not to be saved. Tikvak shalir.
Right. Okay.
That will save you.
Okay, good. Good. Save it. Very nice. Okay. Biblical connection. Source number 9, Tiferes Yisrael. Lefi ani yazdaiti, de'anav hu hamakir gedulas orko. This is going to get to how I frame these two ways of understanding humility in the beginning. Right? So he says, anav, what does anav mean? Anav is I understand my value. Ba'afilu hachi eno misyar ela min amecha es atmo v'chesed. Right? So I understand how great I am, but I don't take that and use that to stand above other people. That's anivus. Aval shval ruachu, hu shelibo nishbar bekirbo, biyado kol chesronosav, umitzayarim lefanav tamid. Shval ruach is somebody who is broken inside because he knows of all his faults and he keeps them in mind at all times. Right? So that's not saying, I know I have faults, but I'm going to focus on the positives. Right? That's, I know I have faults, and I'm going to meditate on those faults. And that's what I'm going to be thinking about tamid, constantly. That's how he understands Shvarah. Right? Again, this brings us back to the Maharal says that think of yourself as a worm. So it doesn't say think of yourself as a worm, but he's definitely not saying think about how you're, you know, you're a good guy, but you have some faults, and you know, focus and do positive things. He's saying focus on Shvarah is focus on the negatives. We wouldn't say this, but this is what he thinks Shva Ruach is, and that's what he's saying that Rav Levitas is telling us to think that way. Now, Shne'elmu me'enei habrios. Even though nobody sees this, right? This is an internal process. Gets back to what we were talking about last week. This is an internal process. U'lahachi b'Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha'shalom k'sivu Moshe anav me'od. Moshe, it says, he's very humble. I love this question. Can Moshe not have known how awesome he was and how he was so special and he was the greatest man, he was the greatest Nabi? The Dibur Hashem imo panim al panim, the Shechina medaberes mitov grono, Hashem speaking through his, you know, through Moshe, it was almost direct connection to God. Nobody else ever got to this state, right? So it can't be that Moshe didn't know how great he was, but he's an anav, right? And he even wrote it, right? So he had to write it. So Moshe had to know how. So that's why he's anav. Now, as we'll see in the end, not everybody agrees to his understanding of Moshe, but this is his conceptualization of Moshe. Moshe knew how great he was, but he didn't. Flaunted, he didn't, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Hover? No, that's not it. Gloat over other people, etc. Hold it over them. Masha in King David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. David, on the other hand, was a Shval Ruach. Amar Be'esh Shafal Be'enai. V'chein Heim Rov Tachanunai Tehillim Be'ofen Zeh. If you go through Tehillim, there's so many times over and over and over again how lowly, how despised, how despicable, how everything that I am. And I think I was right, by the way, before when it said Bifnei Kol Adam in the previous source. It, what there are those in this Mishnah that says Bifnei Kol Adam. That's what the Maharal was referring to in source number 7. But either way, V'yesh Gorsin Bifnei Kol Adam Afilu Lifnei Osan Shetidamish and Yoser Shvelim Imcha. Even those who you know, it's in front of anybody, even people who seem to be lower than you, V'Afilu Bifnei Osan Sheyirtzu Hashpilcha Yot B'Yoser, and even people who want to denigrate you. So people are trying to push you down. So even in front of them, it's Bifnei Kol Adam. It's coming to include even those people. You should be humble in front of them. Va'amar ma'od ma'od da'ainu anava ha'me'od'i shelcha lo tistapik ba'lachshov lomar hini shval ruach. That's why does it say it twice? So he says it's twice. It's once for don't. It's not enough to just think this way. Elatiyeh shval ruach milachshov sha'atash shval ruach. Right? So it's not enough to say it. It's either el tihesha ruach malachshu shatashva ruach. You have to think it too. So you don't, it's not just in words, but it's in action, it's in thought. I really believe it. That's one possibility why it says ma'od, coming to include both speech and thought. Inami lahachi kamar ma'od ma'od, or perhaps it says ma'od ma'od, hainu lo levad b'dibor, not enough to speak it, shezeu gavatzcha, komar hine yesh bi kol amaylos, v'lo chasali rak hanava, ekva gama even tov azeb kitri, ela ma'od ma'od hevesh v'aruach gam b'fnim b'machshav osecha, that I have to internalize. So basically, maybe we didn't get the nuances here, but his point is that it says ma'od twice to both incorporate an internal and an external state. It's not enough to just say it, but I have to internalize it as well. So the Tiferes Yisrael here, I think, says two important things. Number one is that this internal and external, it's not just about saying it, but more importantly, he gives us this paradigm that Shva Ruach does mean that I have to think of myself as lowly at all points in time and focus on my faults, focus on the things I've done wrong, and that should keep me in a sort of a gloom mood, a gloom sense of self, which will help me not sin as much, presumably. Nowadays, again, what we generally find from my experience is that people who think of themselves this way tend to sin more because they think of themselves as so lowly and bad that they like, okay, who cares? Let me go continue sinning. So that's not what they're encouraging. So there was at some point this balance between feeling low that help prevent sin, then this, maybe there's no, there, is there any mitzvah to feel good about yourself? Right? Is there a mitzvah to feel?
There,
on some holidays you should be happy. But how do you define that happiness? It depends how you define happiness. My point is that this sort of I should feel happy about myself. It's not so simple to say that's like a necessary Jewish value. What I would say is that it's more functional. Right? To what point is this going to help me serve God better? So if my mindset of how I view myself is going to help me serve God better, which would mean do more mitzvahs, do less averos, treat other people nicely, don't exploit people, don't embarrass people, whatever mindset's going to get me there, I would say that's the goal. So meaning shva ruach, if I'm going to think in the sense of I'm so lowly that I'm worthless, that I have no, then that's not what you should be thinking. Right, because that's not going to help you get anywhere. But at a certain point, there were people, apparently, maybe they still exist today, maybe the Chafetz Chaim, maybe others, who can internalize a sense of lowliness, and that's not going to impact how they treat others and how they serve God. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. I mean, that's valuable. If you can toe that line, most of us probably can't and shouldn't even try, but if you can toe that line, there is something valuable to thinking, I'm so low, that can help me then treat others with more respect and perhaps serve God, avoid sin, because I'm going to be Rima at the end of the day, not focus on my physicality, focus on my spirituality. My point here is to just not, I don't want us to come away from this Mishnah thinking that these sources, you know, can't apply to me, are totally, not that they can't apply to me, that they can't apply to anyone, right? There are people who this could be and is a good way of serving God. I think for most of us, we would focus more on what the Tiferes Yisrael calls the anivas. Know our, and this is where these books that I talked to you about in the beginning are coming from. Know that you have strengths, but don't hold that over other people.
Don't flaunt it.
But one of my main points that I'm trying to make is that you can't then say that Judaism has no place for this, what we would call low sense of self. It does exist, done in a right way, can be a powerful tool for Avodas Hashem, but I wouldn't, you know, don't try this at home, right? This isn't something that we should play around with without, you know, proper perspective. This is for people who know what they're doing. I would not start thinking to myself, I'm nothing, I'm a worm, I can't accomplish, you know, and these are all my faults. I don't think that's a healthy perspective for the contemporary mind. Okay, so let's...
You can't accomplish by being lonely. I'm not saying success, but the best you can hope for in the end is that you're going to be a worm, so at least do something while you're alive. In other words, you're not going to end up anywhere more, no matter what you are, you think of yourself, now how great you think you are, you're all going to end up as a worm. So be perspective in that way. In other words, people today can't see it that way.
But that's my point. So my point is that there could be value for this thought to help me with my religious self. Most people nowadays, there's a big downside to think this way because you go very quickly from I'm a worm to I'm worthless.
Maybe I want to die.
So that's the danger. That's the danger. From going to I'm a worm to worthless is where we want to avoid it. He never said I'm worthless, right? He never said that's my point, is that the functionality of this is supposed to motivate better religious observance and better religious personality. The danger is that it goes very quickly from that to, at least nowadays, and from experiences that we see from people nowadays, that it goes very quickly from worm to worthless.
Maybe we don't explain the shtar ruach the way he understood it.
And again, that's why you're 100%. That's why if you read a regular, you know, sort of self-help, self-esteem book, they will say this other way, this anibus, this Moshe Rabbeinu type of perspective, because it's just not applicable nowadays. All I want, again, my point, I'll say it one more time, is just that you, from a learning Pirkei Avos perspective and from learning religious Talmudic text perspectives, you can't whitewash it and pretend it doesn't exist. It's there, and it serves value for some people, and definitely more in the past, it might have been a more applicable or acceptable approach. I mean, according to what the Tiferes Yoel just said, that is his definition of Shva'al Ruach would be the opposite of what most people say healthy self-esteem is. That my libo is nishbar bekirbo, biyado kol chesronosav umitzayorim lefanav tamid. If you could work that in with a healthy self-esteem, I'm not exactly sure how to do that. Maybe you can. That's a pretty extreme formulation. Or to think I'm a Rima, I don't think that qualifies.
And then Tfilah Zaka, you have that phrase, Ani Tole Rimba, but that's getting you in the mood and the proper frame of mind.
Maybe I get Kippur.
Right, exactly.
So there is a religious place for it. It just has to be done carefully. So now, how much time do we have? What time is it now?
10:17.
10:20. I have all day. Okay, so again, I might as well. Let's do source number 10. If anybody has to leave, feel free to leave. So source number 10, the Malbim. It's going to have a slightly different definition. And you'll see that everybody, if we did this all day, when you go to every single possible definition of Anivos and Shva'al Ruach, what you will get is slightly different definitions of each one. So the Malbim says as follows. Tov Shva'al Ruach. So he's going on Mishle. He's going to reference our Mishnah, but he's jumping off of a Pasuk in Mishle. So he says, Ha'anava v'ha'gaiva shnehem b'bechira. He says, humility and arrogance are both within your choice. You can think your way, you can choose to be either anav or gaiva. This is not sort of genetic, set in stone. You're either arrogant or you're humble. This is a choice. Somebody who's arrogant puts himself over what he actually is. So it's not like he knows I'm X, Y, and Z and acknowledges I'm X, Y, and Z. He's X, Y, and Z, and he thinks himself he's X squared, Y squared, and Z squared, right? I'm better than I actually am. He's not going to say that, because he's going to say, this is who I am. But in reality, he's saying he's better than he is. Somebody who's humble does put himself lower, but in the sense that he's aware of the fact that we are just Basar v'dam, v'shva'al ruach, so that's anav. He acknowledges the fact that we're not, that we have limitations. But shva'al ruach is the extreme. V'shva'al ruach hu ha'ketzeh acharon neged anav, v'shu ha'emtsoi ben gaos l'shifa. So like the Rambam, going within that paradigm, that anav is in the middle, gaiv is the extreme. I think I'm better than I am. Anav is I'm aware of limitations. Shifa's ruach is the other extreme. So what does that include? The negative is am soy ben gavel shiflos. So ha'anav, this is still in the middle. He's not explaining shiflos ruach yet. The middle one. Ha'anav margish bichvodo raku anav bifnei bechirasa. So anav in the middle feels that sense of self. If somebody impedes that, if somebody questions him, if somebody puts him down, he's going to feel that person's putting me down. But he chooses to act humbly. So he has this sense of self, feels hurt, if you will, if somebody puts him down, but chooses to act humbly. That's anav. What's a shva'al ruach? Ba'shva'al ruach tziori rucho yafshilu oso ad shalo yargish klal kishayivzu oso. Somebody who's in the extreme of shva'al ruach, what is the shva'al ruach? Doesn't even feel it. He has no sense of you want to phrase it in English, dignity, self-respect. Not that he doesn't self-respect himself, but if somebody insults him, that doesn't even impact him. Doesn't even, it doesn't feel anything. again, it's not saying necessarily that he has no self-worth on his own, but if somebody does something to him, he doesn't feel embarrassed because of it. It doesn't affect him at all. Uvechol amidos tova derech hamitzua. In most cases, it's best to be in the middle. Aval begay beiziru ma'od ma'od heveshva ruach. In our case, like following the Rambam's understanding, we should go to the extreme. Shetov aleches b'ktzei ha'acharon. We should go to the extreme. So if that's the case, then we should apparently, what he's saying as of this point, is try to develop a sense of, if somebody embarrasses me, I feel nothing. Does this, has anybody got in here? I don't know. Maybe the Chafetz Chaim. Most of us don't get there. But let's keep going. About ein tov sheyesh faruach tiv'i bilti margish. But he takes a step back. He says, no, don't go to that extreme. Don't go to the extreme where you feel nothing. Ein tov, again, ein tov sheshva ruach tiv'i bilti margish. It shouldn't be so ingrained into you that you don't feel anything. Rak tov shva ruach es ha'anavim, sheyeh ha'shiflus misibas ha'anava, she bechirias sichlis al pi ha'chachma v'chukeha. He says that you should choose to be humble. He doesn't mean the guy who's shva ruach isn't choosing to be humble. He's not feeling anything. So it's not like I'm choosing to be humble. I literally have no sense of emotion right now. I'm not choosing anything. But he's saying that you shouldn't go to that extreme. Rather, you should feel something and then choose to be humble instead. V'gvar ruach, on the other side, the extreme of arrogance, hu mishit siyurei haruach nigvahim el halev u'misnasim lizgaos u'v'chol ze adayin lo yatzu el apoa. Now he gives you another category of somebody who's a gva ruach. So he's arrogant, but we have two types of arrogant. This type of arrogant is somebody who feels awesome and feels like I'm amazing and feels like I'm better than everybody. But he doesn't act like it. Okay? That might exist. You wouldn't know unless it's you, because apparently they're good at not acting on it. But internally they're like, I'm awesome, I'm amazing, I'm better than everybody. And then they manage to control it. So Chaim's skeptical and thinks that those people leak out their arrogance. But hold on, let's just finish it and then you'll get your question. So he says, Ki alev moshel atzira ruach v'yachol lahashpil imrucho, because our brains, our minds can control our thought process and our emotional experience, and we can lower ourselves if necessary. So I think I'm awesome, but I'm able to control my actions. Aval im po'alim al ha'lev ad shehispal mehem v'nasik v'alev azu to'eva. But if I then go and it's so powerful that I act on it, now I'm not just a gvaruach, but I'm a gvalev, then that's a problem. That's to'eva. That's extreme problematic. So it's one thing to sort of think about it, even feel it, but once I'm acting on it, it becomes so part of my mindset that I can't separate from it. That's when it becomes an extreme problem. So basically what he's done is he's given us now there's four parts of this spectrum, right? So you have, on the one extreme, you have you're not feeling anything, and he seems to be indicating that that's not an operating principle. It's a little confusing because he's saying stay in the middle, usually stay in the middle. Here you should go to the extreme, but then he says that even in this extreme, it's a little towards the middle, because I'm supposed to feel something, just choose not to. So it's a little unclear exactly how he deals with that. But then on the arrogance, he gives us some more things to work with. You could have arrogant of mind, you could have arrogant of thought, of feeling, and then you could have arrogant of action. Which one do we choose? Do you want to be an anavar shval ruach? So again, I think we spoke about that already. I think now we should aim for anivus. Now, the last time you wanted to...
The last phrase that you used when you said, you know, a person who thinks I'm wonderful, I'm awesome, I'm terrific, and then you added, I'm better than anyone else. What if you have the first part, but you don't have that last piece? I can be terrific, wonderful, lovely, everything wonderful, but I don't have the ability to do open heart surgery. Or I'm not as good as Rabbi so-and-so, and whatever that thing is. But not to say that, yes, I'm terrific, but I'm not I'm not, what's the last phrase that you said?
I'm better than everybody else.
Yeah. Where can I have all those other
things? You could. That's not, the way he's saying it here is, misnasim l'hisga'us u'l'chozet. So you'd have to find out exactly what he means by each term. One way to look at this is that, you know, if you want to say a proper, healthy perspective on anivus would be to say that sort of where you're going on this is that I have a accurate sense of, and this is, if you look in the psychology literature, this is generally how they define it as well, and I think it could be found within what we're saying. You just have to pick and choose what commentator you're going with and what definition of anivus versus shlifus ruach they're going at. But if you want to get in sort of an operating principle here, I'm aware, accurate self-awareness of my strengths and my faults, and I'm aware that that doesn't make me better per se than other people. I may be better at doing something specific than somebody else, or two things, three things specific than somebody else. That doesn't make me a globally better, evaluation perspective of somebody else. So that would be, I think, a healthy way of looking at it. So it's not that I'm whitewashing my I don't have any problems, I have no faults. I'm fully aware of my faults, and I'm fully aware of my strengths, and I use those to, in a religious perspective, to serve Hashem and to help others. And at no point do I say I'm better than anybody else as a person. I might be better than you at something X, Y, and Z, and that might actually give me a level of responsibility to help you, right? Because I'm in a position of strength here and you're in a position of weakness, and that's a running theme throughout Torah, is that people in positions of strength should help people with weakness. Because I can't. Right, we say with Hashem, "B'makom gedulaso sham tihei antonuso." So if you go through, Chazal have this running theme that if you go through Tanakh, you'll find that points where it talks about God's humility, it also talks about His greatness. Both things are intertwined together, and part of that is this greatness that comes with being able to do and help others. And then the anivus is, I'm not therefore going to say I'm so much better than you that I can't even, I'm not going to help you, like I'm going to stay away from you. No, it's through that greatness that I help others. Okay, so I think that could be one way of looking at it. Do you guys have energy for one more source, or should we call it a day? Okay, source 11 is the Abarbanel.
Okay.
Yes, sorry, yeah.
According to you, and according to the Malvin, the best thing is to be anav, not shfaruach. But that's not what the Mishnah tells us.
Wait, so the
to be shfaruach. And I think that the best person here is the shfaruach. Couldn't care less what anybody's saying about them. So he doesn't get upset, doesn't get angry. You know, so not so bad.
Right. So I hear what you're saying. So if you want to say, so in terms of your reading of the Malbim, let's put that aside now, because the Malbim itself is confusing. But just in terms of the end game, of if you want to define Shfal Ruach as, if you insult me, I don't care, I'm not going to get angry, I'm going to move on with my life. And if you want to define that as Shfal Ruach, I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. The question is, what type of mindset do I need to get to that state, right? How do I think about it? This is your homework exercise, right? Hopefully nobody insults you or nobody does anything bad to you. But if they do, think to yourself, what's my mindset now? What's my emotional experience right now? And how am I thinking about myself? How am I thinking about that other person in that moment? And at that point, that's the thought process that we're going to have to intervene to see if you can get to a place where you say, insult me, doesn't bother me, it's his problem. If you can get there and you're...
That's according to the Mishnah, that's what you have to get to.
No, so I just want to be clear here. It really depends on how you define Shval Ruach, right? So depending, everything until now we've seen as this, maybe there are other sources out there, but if you go with Ma'aral, that it means to think you're a worm, right? If you go with the Tiferes Yisrael, that it means to think that you're, think of your faults at all points in time, then what you're saying might be an element of it, but it's not in totality, right? You're focusing on one element of Shval Ruach, is how I respond to insults of other people. So that's one thing. So if you want to do that, and you want to define Shval Ruach like that, and then respond that way and say I'm Shval Ruach, fine. But just keep in mind that there's
more precedent to explain Shva Ruach in a more extreme way, right? And then we would have to say that we don't, it's not our tafkid right now to focus on Shiflus Ruach, let's focus on Anava, right? And don't go to an extreme. Maybe the Rambam's extreme Shiflus Ruach, the way that we define it now, is not the best thing to focus on. Let's focus on Anivus and settle for a middle path, knowing that your Gaiva's right around the corner and you have to be extra careful. Okay. So I don't know. I don't have a firm, conclusive answer for this. I think that it really depends on the person, depends on the time frame, depends on the period, depends on what situation we're talking about. There's many, many variables. We're just sort of covering some possible ways of looking at it. But let's keep going before we lose everybody.
When he says, it doesn't mean relationship to other people.
Right.
It means you yourself, if you feel that it's you and God, and that's it.
Well, it's not. So I would say no. I would say it's you and God. It's you yourself, and it's you and others. Like we said last week, it could, depending on how you interpret it, incorporate all three. So that's all my point is that if you're just focusing on the how do I interact with others, that's only one element. Then how do I think internally about myself, and how do I think with my relationship to God? Those are the other elements you're gonna have to think about depending on how you wanna define Shva Ruach. Okay, so let's take all this without a conclusive answer and see the Abarbanel. I think this is a nice way of ending it off. What the Abarbanel is doing is, and we're jumping in the middle of the Abarbanel, what he set out already is described to us, I believe, seven categories where somebody could be a Baal Gaiva. Right? There's seven parts of life where you might think to yourself, how awesome I am. Right? So he's going to go, he already went through those. In this paragraph, what he's doing is he's going to go through each one and tell you the counter. Right? So if I have, let's just give you one example. If I have lots of money, which might be a source of me saying, look how awesome I am, here's what you should think instead. So that's going to be the paradigm here. So he says here, Vata ben Adam, bina shema'a zos, elehim shiva sameh herafuos l'choli agaiva, and so the seven counter actions to counter the guidance. Somebody, category number one, somebody who's physically strong, healthy, good looking. I think, look how good looking I am. So what does he say? Yishtamish mimenu b'tzarchei nafsho v'yitein oz l'malcho. So my perspective is that I have this strength in order to serve God. Right? God made me pretty in order to serve Him, whatever that means. Right? God made me, I have strength to learn Torah, etc. I have strength to fight in the army. So I'm using my strength to serve God. Number two, Kasher Yistaka, big Vuraso. Look how strong I am. I have big muscles. So we already have precedent for that. Yichbosh es Yitzro. To conquer our Yetzer, ki hi agvura amitas kemoshe nizker, because that's really what strength is all about, as we've already discussed in Ezu Gibor in the first Mishnah and the fourth parak. Vim chayolov yigaber yel dvar kvod shemo, kemoshe amar chazek v'nis chazek ba'ad imanu, or amenu, uva'ad arei elokenu, that if you have lots of, you know, you have a big army, your strength in numbers, so think about the fact that this is an order. It's not that look how strong the IDF is. Look how strong David HaMelech's army is. Look how the Gaiva. No, this is in order to protect us. That's it. This is to serve Hashem, protect God's land. Vim avosenu va'anshe mishpachto gava malasam v'kvodam. I have yichus. Look how great I am. Oh, this is the third set. You do the count. It's hard to tell. Do the tally. I forgot to do this beforehand. It depends if you consider Gvura as the same as the Yofi and Taiva Bria. So just make a tally as we go. So this is either three or four. So v'im avos avanshe mishpachto gavam alasim kvodam. If you have yichus, yishtadal huli damos aleim la'echlus masi avos v'yadav. Then you're tafkid to counter. Don't think how great I am. Look at yichus. No. You have role models that you have to work on aspiring to. K'may mar navi, as it says, al tzurchu tzavtem, v'amal keves bur, etc. V'imrabo ohava v'krova, v'yasa sol shem mitzvah. You have lots of friends. Look how popular I am. No, that's an opportunity to do mitzvos. Mishum v'haftal reichel kamocha. Lots of friends, you have an important job. Love them, treat them nicely, and try to bring peace to them. Im yira ki rov osher, I'm so rich, v'chi kvir matzo yado, yoda le'lokav, sha osher v'kovod melfanav. First, acknowledge that wealth is from God. Yanik esaniyim v'lom de'a Torah, and then give that money to tzedakah. V'yomar k'divrei David ha-melech alav ha-shalom, as David said, mimcha ha-kol u'miyadcha nasnulach. Everything's from you. Imra atzmo ola l'gdula. I have kavod. I have a position of power. Yachshov ki chova rabba mutelas alav. This is a responsibility. Levilti rum levavo levilti sur min ha-mitzvah. And I can't think about how great and awesome I am. It's a yetzer hara in this position of power to think I'm better than other people. No, you have a tafkin at that moment to realize that you're not better. L'takin in yonei tzibure ve'amo l'adricham b'magalei tzedek. And you have a responsibility towards that congregation or towards that community in order to serve them properly and put them on the right path. And as we've seen in previous Mishnayos, remember that the more higher up you go in your position of power, there's more danger lurking, both in terms of physical danger, if you will, as well as in terms of the danger, of spiritual danger of thinking you're better. K'maymar Anavi, Kiyom Hashem, Akol Ga V'ram, Akol Arzei Avonon, Haramim V'Nasiim, V'Gomer, V'Akol Harim, V'Akol Mugavoa. Fine. Shehu Kulo Mashal Mishalas Bnei Adam V'Gedulasam. All these are metaphors for people getting positions of power, and that's where you have danger. V'Lachin Yischanin Leilokav Shiatzileu Map Goyim. So therefore, you also have a responsibility to daven that Hashem save you from all of these pitfalls and downfalls. V'yomar and say l'cha Hashem agdula v'agvura v'tiferes v'netzach v'ha'od. Remind yourself, meditate, have this in your as a mantra that Hashem has a gedula. It's not about me. Okay. Now, one more. V'imchacham libo. I'm smart. Look how smart I am. Yigala amikta umistarta yitain el libo ki Hashem yitain chachma bipiv dasu tvuna v'shehi mimetanos Hashem umichasadav. Know that your intelligence is from God. It all comes from God. It is a gift from God. V'kama mehapa'amim meshiv chachamim achor v'daitam yisakel. How many times do we see people who lose their ability to think? They're so smart, and then their mind leaves them. They lose their intelligence. It's all a gift from God. Therefore, because it's all from God, use that to study the Torah, to work on the Darchei HaAvoda, v'yivakesh m'mani yisbarach shiru ha'derech yelech b'an, and again to daven that Hashem puts you on the right path, as David HaMelech says, "Kemaimer im zimiros, Horeini Hashem darkecha o alecha ba'amitecha, yachid l'bavi l'ira shemecha, uvizeh ofen roi shishtamish adim ha'amalosa, uvizeh tasur machalosa v'shav v'rap halo." And by doing all of these things, this is how you can use gifts that come from Hashem that are generally pitfalls to gaiva, and these are the counteracting thoughts that can keep you on a humble path. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have these things. It doesn't mean you should avoid wealth or strength or intelligence. And it doesn't mean that it's not true that you're wealthy, you're strong, you're intelligent, you have yichus, you have money, you have friends, you have power, they're all true. We're not denying it. But make sure you use that to serve Hashem, to serve your people, and not to go off on a path where you become serving, where you serve yourself, and everything becomes about you. Think about Hashem, and think about others, and use your power and strength in order, and your gifts in order to help them. I think it's a nice way of ending the humility section. And next week, we will continue with the second part of this Mishnah. Mishnah 4 actually has another part about Chilul Hashem, which we will talk about next week. Okay, have a good fast.